Okay, this is Tina Young interviewing Nell Bogosian in her kitchen at 1525 Clark Avenue in Granite City, Illinois. It is the 14th of November, 2001, and this is tape one, side two. Now, I want to ask you some more questions about Miss Prather. It sounds like she had a huge impact and influence on the neighborhood. How did you know her?
I guess from kindergarten I knew her, you know.
What did she try to do for the kids?
Taught us manners, cleanliness, obedience. You saw that picture, didn't you? She taught us how to carry the tears, and I still carry it that way. Really, this is how you carry a chair. One night I was working at the help, and I would help out the mingle at St. Gregory's, and this one fella, I said, he picked up a chair. I said, oh, don't move it that way. I said, I always hold the way Miss Prather taught us, this way, because, you know, we fall if you carry it this way. You're more right. To this day, I hold it this way. He said, really, I don't remember. I said, I do. She taught us everything. Everything. You dare not speak back to her. No one. If you came home and told your parents Miss Prather said this or that, they'll say, what did you do? You know, you never spoke back to her or any of your elders.
Now, I read a little bit about her in a few of the articles, but what did you know about her as far as where she came from and her own background? What would you...
I didn't think about those things.
Yeah,
you know, as a child, you don't think of those things.
But she was just well-respected among everybody.
Very highly respected. Even our parents addressed her as Miss Prather.
Was it because she was so involved in helping? Was that...
Yeah, she helped everyone she helped. I don't think you'd find another woman like her. You'd have to really hunt and seek before you found one similar to her.
It sounded, from what I've read, that she really, I mean, what she did, she took so seriously. It was 24 hours a day, seven
right.
days a week. That's a huge commitment.
She was sweet.
Now, I know she was honored quite a bit when she died, and there was a big...
She was what?
When she died, there was a huge, you know, they really honored her.
Oh, you know what they did? She was Methodist. She went to Needring House Methodist Church. And they brought her to the community center for people to come view her. It was jam-packed in the gymnasium, I remember. I was only about 9 years old at the time. And we all had to go to the church funeral. She's not buried here. They took her to her hometown. I think she was from Murfreesboro somewhere. I'm not quite sure. We had to go pay our last respects to her. Our parents, everybody went. The gym was packed. I remember going to the church, Methodist church.
Just sounds like you know, she was just so loved, and
I loved her, and then I had fear too. I guess for respect,
mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I'd better not do this or that because Miss Prather would get mad. That's how we would think of her. You know,
never I guess a very
her,
you know,
you're okay. Very prim and proper, very. I think she was in her 60s when she passed.
Yeah, from the article that sounds about right.
Whoever you interview will say nothing against Miss Prather.
Right.
No one.
What other standout people were in your community? I mean, is there anybody? I mean, I know you had the basketball team and the.
You mean who did well from our neighborhood?
Well, who really gave back, or who in your mind stands out as either a child or an adult that really you know, epitomize the neighborhood as far as their actions? Anybody in particular, or just was it such a community that everybody kind of?
Well, all the kids were very sport-minded, I know. And then Andy Phillip went on to make a name for himself then. And, you know, he was like with three different NBA teams. And then when he was with St. Louis, he had the Hawk team at one time. In the 50s, it wasn't. My friend and I, we had like season tickets, we'd go. And I guess a lot of people went to see him play. But he never put his nose up in the air. He was always like he was from the corner, you know. And who else? Did well in town. I guess Bass effed him off dead. He became superintendent of the county schools. That's a big
being called a farmer.
Oh, exactly.
And then Danny Todoroff, he became high school band director. Elsie Maylett was a band director for the elementary school. She passed away. Who else did for a while? I don't know if he had. And one was vice president of the bank, Barry Ullman. He was Macedonian. That's a big high foreigner. You know.
Well, exactly. From, you know,
they've been called as foreigners, that's what I'm referring to. Got off in, I can't think. One became a big stockbroker in California, Pasadena. He passed away. Did very well. Very, very well. Offhand.
Going back to the neighborhood, were there any as a woman, I'm kind of interested in women's issues and whatnot. Were there specific women's activities that all the women would get together and do, or any women's groups, organizations within the neighborhood?
The Macedonians had a women's organization. The Armenians had the Armenian Relief Society, ARS we call it. And the Mexicans had the Honorary Commission. And the Hungarians had the Verovays. We all had organizations with one another, and they all had affairs, which we joined in with them, you know.
Are these organizations
still in existence? The Mexicans are, they're real big in town, real big. And the Macedonians, they had a ladies' organization. I don't know if they dissolved that locally or not, and but they have a church guild, of course, in Madison. We have a ladies' organization. We have a ladies' guild for the church, you know, organization. And we have different affairs, and then we have a junior organization. As a matter of fact, they belong to an athletic organization. It's National Armenian Youth Federation. Mm-hmm. We're having a dance Saturday night. The kids are giving. We bring a band from, I think, Detroit or Chicago. I don't know where that band's from. Armenia. Everybody dances Armenia, no American music. Yeah, it's fun, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Madison was loaded with Polish people. And that Polish hall, they still have it. Yeah, we all had organizations. We had Girl Scouts, we had the Brownies and the Girl Scouts, we had Boy Scouts. Miss Prather's son today.
Again, Miss Prather's influence, that's
right,
a good thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I took a walking tour of the neighborhood. And I noticed that there's a lot of vacant lots along Needring House, and a lot of closed businesses and whatnot.
We had two dry goods stores.
When was the beginning of all these stores starting to close? Was it?
I guess about 10 years after the war. When I say war, I'm talking about the World War II.
Were the stores closed?
Went to school, you know, they got free education, so they went on to college. They all made something of themselves, you know. And then they outgrew it, and then they could get married, nowhere to live instead of building. They moved out.
In one interview, the person basically said, well, you know, the time for the neighborhood has passed. It basically, you know, served its purpose, you know, for a length of time. But the time for the neighborhood has passed. What do you think about that?
I don't believe that. Had everyone stayed in Lincoln Place and added those areas I told you, we would have been better than St. Louis Hill, the hill in St. Louis.
Do you see?
But they moved out, see? Right.
Well, do you see the neighborhood?
Now, Paul Pedraza, he bought our building on the corner there. He's done a lot for the neighborhood. He goes up and down the streets, picks up cans, beer cans and all that. And he keeps those two lots very nice and trimmed all the time. I think he added a lot to the neighborhood.
Do you see people, you know, coming back and improving it? Or is it maybe a different crowd moving in that neighborhood now?
Different crowds have moved in. There's some that are still there, you know, but different people have moved in.
So definitely the nature of the neighborhood's definitely forever changed then.
We should have stayed there. I mean, we should have, not like my brother's generation, they should have built and stayed there. And I've heard other people say it too, instead of moving on. I don't know, money was tight, you know, with the heck. My first job, I was making $135 a month. But I lived, I'd buy a bond each payday and put half my check in savings and the other half I'd blow. I didn't have pay room and board. Then I'd run out of money and I'd go to my father. Say, Heidi, and my father in the army, I don't have any money. Can I have some money? And he'd say, you see the register there? You go get what you want, but don't tell your mother.
Yeah.
And then my room and board, you know what it was? I'd get paid every 2 weeks. And I'd go and buy, he liked stag beer. I don't know if they have stag beer today or not.
So they
I'd go
do.
To Madison and I'd buy 2 cases of beer for $5. I'd bring it home too. And then for my first car, I wouldn't spend my money. I asked him for money. And he gave me $500. Just don't tell your mother. Everything was don't tell your mother, you know.
But would your mother have really cared?
No, my mother was. If I borrowed money from my mother, she'd bug me until I paid her, but I would never pay her. I told her, you know, Heidi says, I don't have to pay you back. Terrible.
Nah.
Well, there were three boys. They were from 13 to 18 years older than me. And then I came along. You know, I never was deprived of anything in my adult years. I always got what I wanted. Really.
That's a good thing.
It was rough when I went on my own.
Yeah. Then you realize, hey.
No, that's not that right. We had coffee houses. Where they drink demi-tasse, you know, coffee. That's the coffee they served.
Is that a Turkish
coffee? Don't call it Turkish.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Middle Eastern,
that's it.
They're so dumb. You know what? I had a friend that came here from Istanbul in the 50s, it was. She came and she stayed with me a couple times. She was really my mother's cousin's husband's, no blood relation or anything. And she couldn't get along with their kids, so she couldn't stay with us, you know. And she'd say, the Turks are so stupid. She said, you could take, in Armenian, she's telling me this, you could take a piece of metal and paint it yellow, you know, like gold, and you could pass it off to them as gold. All the business commerce is conducted by the Jews, of course, Armenians, and Greeks. See, Istanbul was blown to the Greeks at one time. And then when I was in self-employed, you know, I had my own little shop, and all the sales reps are Jewish. That's their business, clothing, you know. And this one man told me, he said that Istanbul was beautiful, but it was too bad, and it was in the hands of the Turks because it was dirty. Stupid. Dirty. I'm not saying they all are. You know, that was another generation. Darn it. Admit that it happened. Brought these, you can buy them here now at the Middle Eastern stores, you know, in St. Louis.
Is it similar to, I've had Bosnian coffee from a Bosnian restaurant. Is it strong like that as far as?
Yeah, I'll show you. I don't know how they make this. Ours is just water and this.
If it's not a problem.
No, it's not.
Okay, well, we're back and we're enjoying some Middle Eastern coffee. And right now it's a little too hot for me to even drink.
You're not supposed to drink, you're supposed
to sip. Well, this little sucker is really hard to even sip. What stores now do you go to get certain things?
Oh, when I want certain things, I go to St. Louis. I go to the Lebanese store and buy stuff. You know, like, is it bad tasting?
Mm-mm. It's got a very nutty flavor to
it. That's it. That's the cardamom. I go like different foods. I wish I had some pastries here so you could set it all up. Send my nephew cookies, and his children, they like the cookies that I make. I mean, cookies, you know.
Now, we were talking earlier about, like, the coffee houses down Lincoln Place. When,
it was for the men only. They went in there, and all they had in the coffee houses was maybe a few candy bars, and they sat and drank no hard liquor. They sat and drank Middle Eastern coffee, and played cards. Isn't that cute?
Well, I guess it keeps them out of trouble, huh?
You could tell, you know what time it was. 9 o'clock in the morning, 11:30, they'd go home for lunch. 1 o'clock, they would go back to the coffee house, you know. They'd go home for dinner, and they'd go back there until 9 o'clock in the evening. That's where the older men congregated.
Did these coffee houses, did they close in the 1950s too with all the businesses or?
And well, they must have closed. Maybe, yeah, early 50s. They all passed on. You know, our parents were dying off. You know, that generation was leaving us.
And that particular tradition just didn't survive.
Go on.
Replaced just, maybe by a pool hall.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. Sounds like you traveled a lot.
I did.
So was that like a big thing in your life then, to just pick up and go?
My friends, and we'd get together with God. We went to Mexico a few times. Mexico City, when Acapulco was big. And Cuernavaca and Tosca. Now they go more to the beaches, you know. Although Acapulco has beautiful beaches. We went to Brazil. I'm it's a cubic block before Castro came in. Batista had it then. It was swinging. You think Las Vegas. You know, that was on Mugsy. What's his name? Mugsy? Bugsy.
Bugsy.
You know, they were, it was underworld covering. The clubs were out of this world. Loved it. It was very international. We stayed at the Nacional on one the hotel. This side was Gulf of Mexico. This was the Caribbean, and right here was part of the Atlantic Ocean. Right smack that beautiful. Too bad first Castro was buddies with U.S. Mm-hmm. They, you know, went off with Russia when we came in. He said, come get sick. All over the United States, Hawaii. I went to Hawaii. We just got back. We just got in San Francisco when JFK was assassinated.
And yours,
they didn't have tours then. Today they have tours for everything. They didn't have tours.
Well, Matt, that's kind of a good thing, though, because then you can explore something on your own without it being fed to you, and you see what they want you to see.
Well, they had tour guides wherever you went, you know. We went everywhere. Only place I haven't been yet, I've been to England, except I want to go to Greece, you know. And I never did make it to Spain and Italy.
So you
Middle East, you know, the Far East, Central America, United States, practically everywhere.
What stands out in your mind about certain places that you've been, as far as wow, you know, I've always wanted to see that, or did you just go just to
the
go?
The Eiffel Tower. They call it the two-day field. I didn't know what they were talking about, Rosa. You know. Take a seat. But at night, it looks like gems, looks like diamonds. You know when they call it the City of Lights? The Eiffel Tower is breathtaking. Of course, not Ara would be for me, you know.
Yeah. So you've been to Armenia. When was the first time you went there?
I went in September 91 when they both, I was there for their vote. First election, you know, and they voted no. I mean, yes, they wanted to separate. They called it yes, the yes day, Ayo day. I always wanted to go to Armenia. That was the weirdest feeling when you first put your foot down on Armenia, you know, your home. Your parents' homeland, weirdest feeling, and go to places they talked about. It was strange. But I loved it, I really did. It was different, you know.
So you were able to maybe go to some of the places that your parents talked about? Or?
Yeah, a couple places, not much, because they were the eastern part. That part belongs to Turkey now, but when they were refugees, they were in the Armenia part now.
How are you perceived, or how are you seen by the Armenians that still live there?
They were fascinated because I spoke Armenian. You know, they thought being in America, you know, you're lost. Wherever you go, they don't realize how big the United States is. You know, like Spain is the size of the state of Texas. You know. The British Isles are the size of the state of Illinois. They ask you, do you know, are you near Boston or towns they know? Boston, Los Angeles, Chicago, and New York. Those are four towns that are supposed to exist in the United States. That's all they know. So when I looked up my friends, family and cousins in Armenia, I told them we lived in St. Louis, near St. Louis. Well, they never heard of St. Louis. They just knew Granite City when their parents used to exchange. Well, how could you live in St. Louis, Missouri when, you know, the letter your addresses. So I said, you ever heard of Mississippi River? No. Of course. So then I tell them, well, I live smack dab in the middle of the country. And they didn't understand how big it was. So on our second meeting, he brought a map in Armenian of the United States. And he showed me the Mississippi River. And it was all in Armenian, though. And I showed him where we live.
So they were surprised that what you would come back, or that somebody would come, that no, you would know the language, well, and...
No, they couldn't believe it was hard for them to take that I spoke Armenian. I didn't, you know, I could communicate with them in Armenian. Of course, everybody knows French. They all know French. Wherever you go, everybody knows French. And I don't know anything in French. So I didn't have a hard time. Then I went back the second time. Armenian Relief Society, they were having an international convention there. You know what was cute? Gorbachev was still in office. I think that's when they had the coup in August, and I left in September. Anyway, we were up in the mountains, beautiful, up in the mountains in school. It was lunchtime, they were out. The kids there all dressed like going to school. The boys were a little short. Pants, and the girls were in the boat, you know. Mm-hmm. They all dressed alike. So I guess they knew we were American citizens. And this little boy, he must have been about 8, 9 years old, he came up to me in Armenian. He said, do you like Gorbachev, you know? And I in Armenian said, no, do you like him? And he says, no, real strong. And then here comes the school teacher or something. Boy, what is your name? Who's your father? Blah, 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 blah. Don't bother these people. It was so cute. It was cute.
Well, it sounds like... Oh, I'm still working on it. It is strong. It is strong coffee.
Not bad, though. With the cardamom in it.
No, it's good.
My father would... That's the only thing he knew how to make was coffee. And he'd drink this in a American, you know, standard coffee cup.
Well, it sounds like you came from a rather international, cosmopolitan type of neighborhood with all
positively
the different...
Positively.
And then, sounds like you, kind of lived your life that way.
Yeah.
As far as traveling and going about. Where are you off to next?
I don't know what this situation is. What's going on? Back in June, we have our Armenian Heritage Cruise every January. Parts from Fort Lauderdale to the Caribbean. And I never cared to go. I never cared to even go on a cruise, or I'd been on one years ago. And my friend from Washington called this thing. She said, let's go on that cruise. I said, I don't want to go. You know, I have to explain. I said, I don't want to go. I haven't gone a long time ago. This cruises don't interest me. I said, oh, please, go. I said, no, I'll let you know. So she called me a couple weeks later, because you got to register months in advance. And I said, okay. I said, if you'd ask me to go to hell with you, I probably would, you know. And this all in Armenian. We talked, because she's our former pastor's wife, you know. And so I said, okay, well, you got to make your reservations in June to go in January. I really didn't care to go. I didn't then. So I made, she says, call United Airlines. They have a real nice rate for $180 from Washington to Fort Lauderdale. And today's the last day. So I called and made my reservations. And I sent in my money for the cruise. And I gotta go too. It's all paid for, you know.
Well,
I know flying. I don't know if flying will bother me. I don't know if I want to go anywhere else. I feel like I... You know what I really enjoyed? You were my friend and I were. She's from the Chicago area. She was here visiting her sister in the spring. And we were talking in casual, talking about going there. I said, I always wanted to go to San Antonio. For the Mexican festivities, you know? And she said, let's go in May, Cinco de Mayo. I said, oh, no. I said, I'd rather go in September. That's their Independence Day. That's a bigger affair. So I got all kind of literature from Travel Bureau in Texas. We made reservations on her flight. Your companion flies free. You know those? And we were departing on the 12th of September. And you know what happened on the 11th? Our flight was canceled. They didn't know when they could book us again. So that happened on a Tuesday. And then Wednesday, Thursday, we were canceled out. And then I said, why don't... So I told him, I said, why don't we drive to Memphis? I said, I've always wanted to go to Graceland. And I want to go to B.B. King's to eat some barbecue ribs. She said, okay, so we drove and we went there for the weekend. It was nice, you know.
So what do you think about what happened?
See that in there? Now, see the grounds?
Mm-hmm.
Let the grounds cool. A little bit, and you turn. Let it cool.
Then after it cools off, then it's, you can read what's at the bottom of the cup. You can read it. Okay.
They tell you're going to receive a letter. You know, if you're unmarried, your boy going to get a boyfriend. And they tell you silly things, you know.
But that was...
And you laugh.
Well, that kind of brings me to a subject. What kind of... related subject. You're growing up, did your parents tell you folk stories, or do you have any kind of stories that were strictly Armenian in origin and whatnot?
Child, yeah. They told us all kinds of stories. You know, children's stories.
Did they have any kind of, you know, like the Grimm's fairy tales have like moral messages in them? Did the Armenian folk stories have sort of...
We have a poet that everyone quotes all the time, Sayat Nova.
Okay, let me backtrack then, and we were talking about people of Armenian
descent
being very successful in this country. Do you think that was maybe because they were firstborn immigrant, and their parents wanted them to succeed?
Their parents always emphasized education. They didn't want their children to work in the, do labor work like they did, you know. I know that for a fact, yeah. And it became very successful throughout the world, I would say. You know, as far as being in Congress, congressmen, and writers, the majority of them are in the jewelry business, the floor covering, gold business, and Oriental. They're into everything. Medicine, big on medicine. They're in movies. Cher. Sarkeesian was her last name. I don't know. They're in all walks of life. They've done very well. I think of immigrant parents were people who have been here for generations that have lost their, you know, descent, and then better. Really.
You were talking about going on your trip to Texas, San Antonio, and how it had to be put off because it was September 12th that, you know, you were supposed to leave and everything was canceled as far as flights. I was just wondering, I just want your opinion. What do you think about what happened September 11th with terrorist attacks in the United States?
I don't know. I think we've been sleeping, unless they're not telling us. And I don't think they should tell us everything for our safety, you know, really. And I don't think they should condemn the Muslims the way they do. There are different kinds of Muslims, just like we have different Christians in this country. That's terrible.
So do you think the government's handling the situation right? Because, you know, we're officially at war.
Right.
And I mean, is that...
Well, I'm going to leave it up to them. I mean, they're not supposed to be, you know, I have to believe in what they're doing is the proper thing to do. They know better than us, supposed to, anyway.
Well, there you go, that's the trick.
This is cold.
Let's look at what our...
Oh, my. We look like three people talking. I'm going bingo. I got to work at a bingo tomorrow night. We'll be jibber jabbering in the kitchen. I think I've seen the animal too. I don't know. Animals are good, supposed to be. I don't know. You just make up things.
You just know? Make up things? Okay. Well, then.
And this is supposed to mean something. Oh, you can get a letter from far away. It's funny. It's cute.
It's kind of a way just to socialize and have fun.
Yeah. But some of them really believe in that garbage, you know. And I always say, you know, if you're a Christian, you believe in God. You don't believe in this. This is fun. Don't you think?
Well, we talked a little bit earlier about different types of folk stories or whatever. Do you have a favorite one, or do you have anything?
Story?
Yeah. Or maybe imagery from a story, or...
We have the three bears, right? I remember the three billy goats.
Ah!
It's similar to the three bears. You know, but it's billy goats. They talk about three goats, not billy goats, three goats. I'll always remember that story. It's corny, but it's a child. It's interesting.
I don't know, it just seems like you've done so much with the traveling and whatnot. It really intrigues me.
I'm 75 now.
It intrigues me. What from Armenia really impressed you the most? Just the idea of actually going there, or?
Yes, just going there. That's where your roots are, really, you know. And you feel sorry for the people, the way they have to, you know, it's terrible.
Was there immediate kind of, even though you're very Americanized, obviously, because you grew up here, born here, you're American, but you have this Armenian heritage. Did you, was there a kinship there? As far as feelings of kinship, not actual kin, but feelings of kinship.
Yes. They accept you very well, you know, very good, well. And, just a different feeling. Particularly when you're like my generation and what they went through, and you hear those stories and then going back there, you know.
Are they
very clean people? You don't see them, you know, messing with them.
Are they well off? Are they poor?
They're poor.
Do they see you as well off, you know, as far as with the.
Oh, I don't know. But, they're poor. We have Armenian organizations, the Armenians here in the United States I'm talking about. We have United Armenian Fund. It's a national organization, I guess worldwide. God, we send loads of stuff there. We have drives for them, you know, money. They send medicine there. Our chapter here send a mammogram machine there. Pay for the freight and all. I think it was about $700 the freight was. Something like that. Yeah, we do a lot. Try to. Of course, there you always have a couple of doggies in the group that do it. Just like the Jews help. You know, all these minor countries do help their people. They don't solely depend upon the United States. But they have to be, They don't know what democracy really is. You know, like when they were under Russian regime, they didn't have to do anything. Everything was given to them, food, clothing, you know. And of course, there's no industry there, really. Terrible. But little industry's going in little by little. And I think it'll take, what, 30 years before they straighten out. Their government has to be formed. They don't know anything about the government. People will help them. I'm not saying just in Armenia, all those little countries. I wish some more people would go there, see how it is, and appreciate this country. And I'm not glad that this happened with, you know, Saddam, whatever his name is, Bin Laden. But at least people respect the flag more now, you know.
I've noticed that myself.
Have you?
The day that happened, I went out and bought a flag.
Yeah. We all wear flag, pins.
It was just that feeling of unity, like this country needed to feel unified again, and that's one way to do it, is symbolically, I would imagine.
I think that, like my generation, even your child, when you were a young girl, when World War II came along, you know, you're in the seventh, maybe eighth grade, something like that, and you realize how people are, everyone's gone away, and become more patriotic. And then Korean War, people weren't that patriotic. And then the Vietnam War, people didn't know there was a war going on. And I think this opened people's eyes. It was a lesson to be learned by us.
I think people, certainly people of my generation, finally learned what it meant to be patriotic, because you know, you could have parents try to teach you that, but until something really happens to test how you feel about your country, you don't know what it means to be patriotic.
Right. And it's really put a scare into everyone. Everyone. Where they've been living in fear all over the world. We finally felt it.
Yeah, we've been isolated.
Yes.
From that, as far as it being on our home territory.
What happened to the Twin Towers? But this was a lesson we had to learn. But we'll forget it again.
That's the way history is, I think. You don't truly learn, and you don't truly forget, but sometimes you don't truly learn either, because things repeat.
I think in the other parts of the world, people are more educational-minded. Need more in education than anything. Whereas ours doesn't. They get help for going to school, they don't get help. You know, you gotta do it on your own. And they make fun of people that talk a different language. Hey, those people there, they're so small countries, they speak two and three languages at once.
That's an advantage.
Right. Here we only know English and maybe a few words and about 10 words in Spanish or something, the average.
That we all learned from Taco Bell, so it doesn't count.
See, we heard all our lives. We were exposed to it.
Yeah, I would imagine that just automatically makes someone more well-rounded.
It has.
You know, and to be well-rounded has nothing to do with wealth. It has to do with experience, I would imagine.
You know, I didn't realize it till I was older how lucky we were to be exposed to the different nationalities.
Did that
kitchens.
Help you when you were traveling, you know?
Sure.
To be able to relate to people?
Their kitchens, you know. Now it's everything. The world has become smaller after World War II. Really. As far as noticing the outside of the United States.
What was your favorite place so far? Was it Paris then? Or
no.
Was it?
I don't know. I like everywhere I go.
Everywhere you go?
Yeah. You'll do it someday. You don't get married and have babies.
Well, I haven't yet.
You will.
How about the United States? As far as where in the United States, like a favorite city or?
My favorite city is New York City.
That's where my grandmother's from.
Is she?
That's where she was born.
From what part she lived in?
She grew up in, as far as I know, she grew up in the Bronx.
That was nice, very, Bronx is nice. People talk about Brooklyn's beautiful. Really, it's right on the water, you know. Well, all of New York is really water. I have friends that live in New York City, in Manhattan. I say New York City. And I visit her quite a bit. I haven't been for about a year or two, about 2 years I haven't been. Usually I go every year. You know, last year I didn't go anywhere. This past year, the only place I went was to Memphis. Have you been there to Graceland?
Very
interesting.
Was it?
Takes 2 hour tour. I liked Elvis, you know, when he was around. But it's very interesting. If you ever, it's only 5 hours straight down 55 South. It's nice roads. Eat some barbecue. And we stayed at the Peabody Hotel. I'd seen it on Dateline or something one time. And, you know, the Peabody Hotel has nothing to do with Peabody Coal Company. It's an old, old hotel. Absolutely beautiful. It's not updated, you know. And in the lobby, they have a pump.